Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Cluck, joined in crystal clear Zencaster audio by Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. Boys, we have another episode on tap that hopefully will be a little bit less glum and a little more ha-ha than the last one, in which I sounded like a grumpy old man and we all sounded glum and depressed. So we're going to try to do a little bit better. And one thing, boys, that makes me not glum, decidedly not glum, is gear. Swag with our logo on it from Missional Wear. Missional Wear has some new stuff, including some leather goods with our logo on it. So, Pipe, why don't you tell us about Missional Wear?
Yeah, Missional Wear is somebody we've worked with for probably over a year now, several months at least.
Long-term relationship. We're going steady with Missional Wear.
Yeah, they're an exclusive partner. Them, Lagaris Roasters, and that's about it in terms of the, you know, you can only be exclusive with so many partners at once.
Take that
whatever direction you want. But Missional Wear, if you go to missionalwear.com/happyrant, we have our very own landing page. And there you can find all of the gear with our sweet, clear Happy Rant logo on it. So we've got coffee mugs. We've got Moleskine journals because you're not a writer unless you use Moleskine. We've got t-shirts. Quick aside on the t-shirts. A few weeks ago, I got invited to speak at this little, like, it was an event put on by a public library in Florence, Alabama. And so they just had some different authors come in and speak to people from the community. And there was a person there who, the first person to show up to my little speaking things, you know, wasn't a big crowd, wearing a Happy Rant t-shirt. And so I have seen one of these in the wild. It was navy blue and it looked super sharp. It looked great. And so these are real and they're spectacular. So you can get t-shirts. We've got a variety of travel coffee mugs, which go really well with the Lagaris Roasters coffee, which you can find at happyrantpodcast.com. So there's black ones, which are sort of Yeti style. There's one that is called a leatherette, which means it has like that leather strap around it so that the cold or the hot metal won't bother your sensitive hipster fingers. And then, of course, we have pint glasses for those who enjoy such things. Don't forget, Father's Day is coming up very soon. All of these make delightful gifts. You could put together a Happy Rant package of coffee and mugs and Moleskines and wrap it all in a t-shirt and give it to the father in your life or the fathers, and they will be the happiest person. And if you do that, you'll definitely be spending more than $50, which means if you use the code RANT, you'll get a $10 discount. So use the code RANT at checkout at missionalwear.com/happyrant. You'll save $10, and they will throw in a Happy Rant sticker, which looks great on laptops or guitar cases or cars or wherever it is you put stickers.
I like it, Pipe. I have those stickers on our cars, both of our vehicles. And
really? You put them on the car?
Dude, I put them on the car, man. I put them right in the car.
What do you drive? Is it a Cadillac Eldorado?
It's an old Caddy, man, an old timey Caddy.
I love it,
and it looks terrific on the Caddy. It also looks terrific on my lady's minivan. So, it's a sticker for all occasions. And Pipe, one of my favorite things to do with my Missional Wear Happy Rant mugs is to sip Lagaris Roasters Happy Rant Signature Blend coffee from them. If you haven't done so already, go to happyrantpodcast.com, buy a pound of Lagaris Roasters Happy Rant Signature Blend coffee and enjoy it, and then tell some people about it. So tweet about it, post a hipster Instagram photo of you doing like, I don't know, your little pour over routine or whatever it is that you
Chemex
do coffee.
Or whatever.
What's that?
I said the Chemex, you know, that thing.
Whatever that thing is that you do with the coffee, post a picture of it so that other people will buy Lagaris Roasters Signature Blend coffee. And we want my coffee guy, Hector Lagaris, Heck Lagaris, to be your coffee guy. And that's all I'm going to say about that, man. I couldn't be more passionate about Lagaris Roasters coffee. But speaking of people who are passionate, boys, something came out. A little bit of news broke recently in the social media world, in which pictures of Timmy Kaye's sermon notes have been circulating. Now, Timmy Kaye is one of our favorite people. We love Tim Keller. He's a great preacher, a friend of the program. And by friend of the program, I mean he's never, ever made any sort of contact with us whatsoever.
Okay. But we feel friendly towards him.
We feel friendly. We feel feelings of friendliness toward him. So I feel that that qualifies him as a friend of the program. So this guy, man, these sermon notes are nutty. I'm looking at one right now. There's notes in the margins and lines. It looks like, you know that movie about the crazy guy, the crazy mathematician called A Beautiful Mind? Do you guys remember that?
The Russell Crowe one?
The Russell Crowe one. And he had that little shed with like lines drawn all over it and like pieces of yarn and stuff. That's what this sermon note reminds me of. Big R, you're our resident man of the cloth. You preach every Sunday morning that you're not on the road, which means like four Sunday mornings a year. What do you make of this?
Oh, dude, that's funny, man. Dude, I mean, it's like, well, it's like anybody else, right? Like, so I don't like anyone to look at my sermon notes like ever. Yeah. And my sermon notes look like they were literally like, compared with Timmy Kaye's, they look like they were literally scripted out by like the finest, like, you know, like handwriting, you know, like doctor calligraphy. In the world, calligraphy, yeah. like whatever yeah. person in the world. And, but like even mine, like I wouldn't want anyone to look at them because they wouldn't know half the things I was saying because, you know, you tend to shorten sentences and I'll put EX when I have an example that I want to give, right? So who's going to know if they ever read it, right? But you look at Timmy Kaye's and you just go, dude, so let me get this straight, Timmy. Like you didn't want to just write sermon notes. You wanted to like be all like J.R. Tolkien and like just invent a new language to write your sermon notes out with. That's how it looks to me. It's so kooky. You just go, dude, how can you – like you must be brilliant to be able just to even read your own writing, right?
Oh, yeah.
It had just gotten too easy for him. He wanted to create a challenge.
Right, right. It's like, dude, I'm literally going to close my eyes and just start typing and then I'm going to preach my sermon off that because I'm so bored on Sunday mornings. That's how it feels when I look at Timmy Kaye's notes.
Pipe, what did your pop's sermon notes look like?
So he manuscripts, or he used to manuscript fully. I think he, in his later years, he kind of moved towards kind of a substantial outline.
Yeah.
And there was definitely tons of highlighting and underlining, but the words were still legible.
Sure.
Which cannot be said for this picture of Tim Keller's sermon notes. Like, legible is not in the top 400 words I would use to describe what that thing is. So, like, my dad looks like the scribblings of – not a madman, but somebody who's just like worked this thing over. So it looks like really heavily edited. So there's notes in the margins and things like that. Keller's has like lines across it. It looks like there's like, I think there's a pentagram in there somewhere. It's just craziness. What his reminded me of, do either of you watch the show Sherlock with Benedict Cumberbatch?
Yeah. Yep.
When he is hunting Moriarty and he has that whole collage on the walls with like yarn running across his place, it's like a three-dimensional, you know, trying to track all the connections. That was Keller's notes, except he managed to fit all of that onto an 8.5 by 11 piece of printer paper.
I feel like if you're really passionate about something, like you're stringing yarn across your place. You know what I mean?
Oh, man, I've never been that passionate about anything.
That's the thing. Like, the Beautiful Mind guy was that into math or whatever, and Sherlock is, you know, he's stringing the yarn up. Like, what would make you guys string yarn across your place? What would it take?
I mean, dude,
Have you ever strung yarn across your place? Maybe you've done it. Maybe I just don't know you well enough, you know? Maybe this is an experience that you've had before.
I'm just afraid to admit the yarn that I've strung across anything at this point.
You've strung yarn that we wouldn't even know about.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I have yarns that are going. Yeah, I don't even want to get into it. But I mean, it's a little mad scientist. You know what I mean? Like when you look down at Keller's like yarn sermon. I mean, it's real. It's real mad scientist. Because here's the other thing. It's like Keller. Here's an idea, dude. Why don't you make your sermon notes like 2 pages? So that you can actually spell entire words out rather than like shortening, you know, words like wood to like WD period. You know what I mean? It's like, dude, here's an idea. How about making it 2 pages? But maybe he's a conservationist and he's like, dude, I can't use that much paper. I live in New York. I'm a Manhattan guy. I'm all about, you know, conserving, you know, the tree. I mean, maybe that's his vibe with that, you know?
Who can
maybe it's been a tough budget year for the church. They're just trying to save on office supplies.
Well, dude, he's retiring in June, right? So he's like, I'm not gonna waste my paper. I mean, no pun. You know, I'm not gonna do that.
So if you guys just saw that picture and you're like, this is somebody's notes from a speech they were giving, what would you assume that person sounded like?
Mm. Dude, that's a great question.
Because I guarantee it's not like what Tim Keller sounds like.
And by the way, as we're thinking about this question, of course, the three of us are definitely probably the top three guys that should be giving Keller sermon advice, by the way.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
He needs all the help he can get.
He needs a lot of help. I think clearly
struggled throughout his career. It's nobody understands anything he says.
Hey, and you know what? We're compassionate about the struggle that Keller has towards preaching. I mean, there's. I think he's made some inroads the last couple of years, boys.
He seems to be getting better. Too bad that train's coming to the end of the tracks.
I know. Just when he was starting to get good, just when Keller was starting to get some traction, he's out. He cuts out.
That's tough.
And Tim, just putting out a line to you, if you ever need help writing any books, we're here to help you with that as well. I know that's also been a struggle for you. So
anything
we can do.
Guys, he's done really well for himself, though, like just given the fact that he definitely has some major, major struggles in those areas. I mean, we got to admit, I mean, he's done okay. It's kind of remarkable, actually.
He really has. He's overcome a lot.
Yeah.
Timmy K, hats off to you. The work that you've done in this area of writing and selling books and also giving sermons.
I mean, Big T, how would you, you know, since we're on the subject, how would you encourage Timmy K, you know, in those struggles now that he's coming to the end of the road? I mean, how would you encourage our boy Tim?
I'd say, you know what? You take away all the money and all the fame and all the conference invites and all the book sales. And you know what? We're pretty much the same person.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you know?
Well, you know, let it be known here that in our program, man, we've always been just, you know, we've always been supporters.
Yeah,
we've always been been on the Keller train. Yeah, I mean, we know most people don't support him. We know most people don't, you know, don't appreciate him for his talents. We always have.
You know what? All kidding aside, I've been in Reformed churches in the past where it's been like, well, I've got some concerns about Tim Keller. You know,
What have been some of the concerns? Tell me.
Just he's a little liberal for my taste.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't mean for my taste. I mean these people who are saying this. He's just a little, you know,
About everything you need to know about somebody if they call Tim Keller a liberal.
Dude, that's true.
You're like, I know exactly who that person is.
I had this one situation, right, where I was arguing with this guy and I sent him, you know, to prove my point, I sent him like a little Keller blurb, and the only thing he wrote back was he said, "Keller's a Catholic sympathizer. That means nothing to me."
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, he just dropped that on me like that.
Papist.
There you go.
Yeah, Pope Keller. So,
yeah, too bad he's never had any impact ministerially. Just
That's true.
Slaving away in a small town where no one notices and nobody has helped.
Under the radar, you know, under the radar.
Poor guy.
Boys, it's funny. I want to set up this next topic by asking a hypothetical question. So the topic is, should adults have best friends? Or if you're an adult, should you use this handle of so-and-so is my best friend? And again, in our production meeting, we were talking off the air about how kind of middle school that sounds, just that moniker. But I want to let you guys speak to that here in a moment. But before I do, I want to ask you, of the famous pastors that we've talked about a lot on this program, if you had to be best friends with one of them, who would it be and why?
Am I allowed to exclude my dad because that's weird?
Yeah, you could exclude your dad.
Okay.
You can exclude your dad.
I think the rules need to be I have to exclude him. Otherwise, I'm voluntarily doing so, and then I'm a bad son.
Exactly. Yeah. No, you have to exclude him. That's the way the game
is. Gotcha. Good. Excellent.
He's your dad. He's not your friend, Piper.
That's the way I feel about being a dad. Who wants to be friends with their kids? That's terrible. Ronnie, do you have a best friend in mind?
You know what? I just think for sheer enjoyment, I think I would roll with someone like Alistair Begg, because I think hanging around with a perpetually angry Scotsman would be super funny and fun, because I just think I'd just ask him all kinds of funny things. And I think at the end of the day, because you know, because we'd be hanging out and we'd be just chatting about all kinds of different topics. And I wouldn't feel intimidated by him, you know. I think he would appreciate that, and I think it would be fun and funny. So yeah, Alistair Begg for me.
Pipe? I'm gonna go with Mark Driscoll.
Dude.
Drisky. Oh, that's controversial.
Drisky. For a couple reasons. One, I think he needs some friends who will tell him what's up. Uh-huh. And two,
those. They're just not friends.
Yeah, they're ex-best friends.
It'll be a short friendship.
It was worth a shot. And two, sometimes you just have to have a friend who's utterly unpredictable. Like, what's going to happen today? Yeah. Like, if you're friends with Rick Warren, you know that today is going to be a warm, pleasant day. He's going to have a hug for you. He's just as friendly as can be. Driscoll, who knows? Total wild card.
True.
Yeah. I think that's, especially because it's going to be a short-lived friendship if I tell him what's up. I don't know. I think I would go that route. It sounds intriguing to me.
That is intriguing. What about you, Big T?
I don't know, baby. I came up with this little
Who would be your second?
Celebrity pastor-wise, you know, it begins and ends with Ronald J. Martin, does it not? You know what? I know we said we weren't going to talk about this guy today, and I'm going to say at Jared C. Wilson, only because you guys are constantly talking up what a great dude he is, like, not on the internet, like in real life. And I'm gonna take your recommendation and go with at Jared C. Wilson.
I mean, you know,
everybody's like, sure. Oh, he's such a nice.
Yeah, he might be a great guy. I don't know as much about Jared C. Wilson right now as much as I do know about everything that's going on in the New England territories, because his Instagram has literally just been a nonstop barrage of everything.
Maybe what I'm saying, I might get a nice trip to Cape Cod out of the deal.
Yeah, I mean, you should, because I think he lives there. He owns Cape Cod. He has He has churches in Cape Cod. He might have
a beautiful baby Maine lobster together and a nice time, you know?
Yeah. I mean, he's only posted, I think, 7 pictures of Maine lobsters. So, you know, I don't know if he likes lobster.
But he posted 22 of Fenway Park and the Red Sox game. So, you also get that out of the deal, too. So.
Yeah, you get like a little baseball out of the deal. Yeah.
Dude, look at it. I'm going to the Red Sox. I'm going to eat some Maine lobster. I'm going to have a lovely time.
You're going to hang out with like George Whitfield and look at like the original draft of Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God by Edwards. It's a dream.
It's
going to
be incredible. It's a dream.
Yeah.
You guys, it's a dream. Okay, so let's talk about this concept of best friends for adults, and in particular for adult men. How do we feel about this this phrase being a thing? Pipe, you brought this to our attention, so I want you to go first on this.
Yeah, so the idea of an adult having best friends, full caveat, it may just be like a knee-jerk thing against the term itself, because I'm fully in favor of adults having really close friends. But there's a difference to me between close friend and best friend. My 11-year-old daughter the other day laid out like the most complicated, dramatic I don't even know what to call it. I mean, it was like a terrible screenplay of former best friends, current best friends who are likely to be former best friends, and all of the emotional rigors therein. And so what I realized is that I've heard adults talk about things the same way. So I was remembering an instance at a church I used to go to where one lady who's in her 40s referred to another lady who was not present as her best friend to somebody who thought she was her best friend.
Oh.
And then all hell broke loose after that in terms of like people who stopped being best friends.
Oh boy.
And I realized that best friends feels like a status symbol to me. It's not like a qualitative statement. It's a statement of privileged position. Mm. And that just strikes me as a recipe for disaster.
Sure. As it is.
And also like you're 11.
Yeah. Big R, what about you?
I don't know. First off, let me just say, man, obviously after hearing that pipe, it makes Big T and I super jealous that we don't have 11-year-old daughters. I did. That was the first part. Secondly, well, I kind of have a weird story like with Big M, right? Because there was this time she was standing there at church And these two women were talking, and it was kind of, the convo was kind of like this thing where she steps in and she goes, "Oh yeah, I didn't know you guys knew each other." And then she said, "I didn't know you guys were friends." And then the one woman says, "No, best friends," like that. And they're like, you know, I mean, they're like 37 years old or whatever, kind of a thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And Melissa was just like, she's like, are we allowed to even use that word anymore at this age? Like, is that still like a thing? Like, it wasn't good enough that I just said you guys are friends. You had to qualify it with best friend. And there was just something sort of like, it was almost like a way of her saying, like, I have exclusivity to this person, so back off. Mm. You know what I mean? And I just think, like, once you start adulting, you know, in life, you know, past the age of 18, I don't know if there's such a thing as that best friend dynamic as an adult, right?
Right.
I mean, because it has to look different. It can't look the same as it does when you're 11, which is when I think it is at its just most, you know, like, glorious, right? Because you can have that exclusive friend.
Is that the word for it? That's not at all how I would have described.
I was just thinking about your experience dad for a minute here while I was saying that, man. And so,
okay. Yeah, not how I would have described the experience of helping an 11-year-old navigate best friend.
By glorious, I meant most torturous, because there's no, yeah. She's not going to sleep for the next like 8 years. She's going to be so tweaked about who and who.
Either that or she'll be over it in 7 minutes because there's like ice cream or something. I don't know. It's so, who knows?
Or she's gained an additional like two best friends in that 7 minute period. Right?
Yeah.
That can happen. But yeah, but as adults, I don't even know what a best friend is supposed to look like, in the sense that, I mean, who has, like, when do you hang out, and how? It's not like you have unlimited time to hang out, and it's, I mean, I just don't even know what that's supposed to look like anymore. So maybe you guys can enlighten the.
Can I give a caveat? Do not at us with "my spouse is my best friend."
Oh,
please, yeah. Listeners. Like, we get it.
Yeah, that goes without. Like,
it's good. Good. That person ought to be the most important person in your life. We're talking about the other friends. Just
right. The other non-spousal best friends that you really don't have, because we're saying right now we don't believe in adult best friends.
I don't know.
Although, so I got a really interesting. So I tweeted something about this, and Sam Alberry, who's a pastor and author, very thoughtful guy, very funny guy, lives in England. He has written very publicly about. So he struggles with same-sex attraction, but is celibate, and he responded and said, people in that place in life, for them, the idea of best friend is something very different than it would be for like what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And that was a very helpful perspective for me, because I realized I was pretty myopic in where I was coming from. Mm-hmm. But even then, he wasn't defending the term best friend, just the idea of a really core group of close friends who you can share a lot of life with. That concept I'm totally on board with. It's the idea of like best friend in that way that you just described, Ronnie, where somebody's like, no, not just friends, best friends.
Exclusivity. Like, right. Almost like you can't touch it. You can't touch this person.
Yeah. Exclusivity. Like, no, they're my best friend. They're just your friend.
Total
like
ownership.
If you two were best friends and I was just a friend, I would be the third wheel on the podcast. And maybe I am, and I just haven't picked up on it yet because I don't have the emotional intelligence.
No, but we just said, I just told you I don't believe in it, so it can't be true.
Why won't Pipe leave us alone?
He's always here talking.
Oh, dude, that's really funny. What's your take on it, Big T? Lay it out there.
Oh, I don't know.
Try harder.
Wait, what?
I said try harder.
Yeah, try harder. Yeah, it just sounds like a stupid thing for a grown-up to say. You know what I mean? It's like when you meet here's an analogy. You meet a middle-aged couple and they're dating, and the guy goes, "This is my girlfriend." Like you just gave him her class ring in a Letterman's jacket, you know? It's like you're 45. There should be another word for it.
What is the other word for it?
I don't know, partner, but that sounds really smug and like grad school-y, so I hate that too.
Or kind of like, so let's, if you could say we're dating, that doesn't sound childish. Kind of like you could say we're friends. This is my friend, so and so. As an adult, that does not sound
that's true.
Childish or dumb.
That's true.
Yeah.
I just feel like best friend locks you in a way that you don't want to be locked in. You know what I mean? You want some fluidity there in your life. You want to be able to, like, not have to, say that.
What would you do? Okay, so what would either of you boys do right now if you were just hanging around some dude and then another friend walked up and the person introduced you as their best friend?
Oh, man.
Like, that's a weird scenario. Has that ever happened to either of you guys? And you were like, you look over at the dude and you're like,
I feel like it would be flattering, but it would create pressure. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. Like, I would, on one hand, be, I would be flattered. I'd be sort of pleased, but then I would feel, I'd feel pressure to do like best friend things with this person. Like,
what are best friend things when you're at our stage in life?
Like, do you have to go on vacation with them? You know what I mean? Like, you have to take trips? I don't know.
Jeez. Yeah, is there like a quota of how often one has to share meals or beverages with this person?
You're right. Like, or how often you have to call if you live in a different metro area? You know, it feels like a ton of pressure to me.
I feel like the only way to handle that is you either play it very cool and you're like, we are great friends. And so you don't use best, but you just sort of acknowledge that this is a good friendship. Or you way overplay it as a joke.
Yeah.
And you start using terms like bestie and BFF just to kind of draw attention to the absurdity of it.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Do you guys even know any adults that like that talk that way? Because I don't. Like, I can't think of anybody that's like telling me, oh, this is my bestie, you know, like when we're hanging out. Like, I can't even think of anybody that does that.
Do you think it's gender specific?
Oh, dangerous waters there.
Well, that's why I posed it that way. Because I'm noticing there might be waters. I'm not going in them.
I don't see gender. I don't see color. Everybody's just amorphous and completely indiscernible to me.
And not best friends. And not best friends.
Everybody's my best friend. That's what I'm saying.
When it comes to best friends, all best friends matter.
Yeah, that's it. All best friends matter.
All best friends matter.
So let's hashtag I'm with us.
You know what? Talking about exclusivity, though, in a podcast context, if podcasts were friends, I want to be the best friend to all of our listeners. You know what I'm saying? I want them to be – yeah. I want them to be exclusive with us.
That's big, man.
Not that they don't ever hang out with any other podcasts once in a while. Like, you go catch a movie with, Reform Pubcast or whatever, but we're
– oh, they can do better than that.
Yeah. They can do better than that.
Come on, y'all. At least go like Doctrine and Devotion or something. Those guys can at least be fun to hang out with.
That's true.
Wow. T, you just redefined the term.
I want to be the best friend podcast, though.
The best friend podcast.
Hashtag best friend podcast. Are we your best friend podcast? Hashtag best friend podcast.
You know what? That creates pressure, though, Ron. And I want to talk about pressure for our third and final topic. I want to talk about summer pressure. Mm-hmm. It seems like in the summers – there's a little bit of kind of unspoken pressure to have an amazing summer, you know what I mean? And just have it be awesome and so relaxing and so perfect and, I don't know, do the most amazing things with your kids. Do you guys feel this pressure in the summer? Is this a real thing?
I think with kids, it definitely is. not because of the kids, because one of the great unknown secrets of parenting is that kids will be happy doing just about anything as long as you don't give them any other options. It's all of the other parents who are the problem. Mm. Because – so not too long ago, my kids finished up school and you know, so you hear all the parents talking during the you know, they go pick up kids from school and where are you going on vacation this year? And they're like, we're going to Cabo and this and that, you know, and then not all of us have the capacity to do that, be it via time or money or whatever. And so, yeah, then it is like there's this momentary, am I disappointing my children by only helping them enjoy their summer around town instead of traveling to exotic locations and spending gazillions of dollars to do so. So yeah, there's definitely pressure until you have to sort of give yourself permission to be like, oh wait, that's all ridiculous. My kids can have a perfectly happy life without having all of that stuff.
You know what? Take them to the Astro Motel there in what town is that? Big
Barstow.
Barstow, yeah, of course Barstow. I mean, could it be anywhere else? Yeah,
insulted. You forgot the name of that tea.
Astro Motel in Barstow.
Yeah, do what I did. Do what Ronald J. Martin did. His whole
take the Ron Martin vacation and take about 150 pictures on Instagram of how amazing your time was.
At least.
At the Astro.
Yeah.
I'm still working it, baby. I'm working it for that sponsorship.
Oh, I think it's going to happen. I don't think there's any doubt about
that. I don't think they have internet. They might not be able to get the money.
I want them to comp Daddy the Rain Man suite.
Oh, you're going to get comp the Rain Man suite, baby. There's no doubt about that, man. And I'm Astro alumni. You think you're not going to get that?
You got the gold card, baby. You
That's
got
what the, I'm the Astro gold card.
You're diamond level Astro Motel member.
Elite. Yeah.
Oh, and they even change out the slide from orange to green for me when I get there. They know how I roll.
They have a separate slide at the 5 foot end of the pool for you.
I know. I'm not a real tall dude. Okay, Pipe, I get it. You had to go.
Well, no, I'm talking about like the other ones at the 4 foot end of the pool. You get the deluxe end.
You know what? I don't see height. Everybody's the same height to me.
Right, exactly, man.
Best friend podcast. Exactly.
That's right.
What pressure do you feel, Ron?
I don't know. It was a topic that just kind of struck me a little bit because I know that like okay, so my wife, Big M, she's kind of a summer junkie. She loves summer. So she's always like, I want to make the most of summer. I love the weather. Now that we're living in the Midwest, you know, you only get like 3 or 4 months of where it's kind of warmish out anyway. And but I'm different. Like I've never loved the summer. My whole thing is to get through the summer to get to the fall, like the season I really love and want to get to. And so like my pressure is just getting through the summer. You know what I mean?
And not necessarily.
Yeah, I'm not a big summer guy. I never have been. You know,
minimal sweating.
Well, because I don't like. So I grew up in SoCal, right? Which means it was hot. It was 105 degrees, and I hate the heat. I absolutely hate the heat. And so it was always just. I mean, in California, like July through September, the hottest months. So it's like, man, just get like, please, just. Like, just get me through, right? Just get me through. In other words, like, kind of, you know, in response to what we just talked about a minute ago, summer, not my best friend, right? And so, yeah, I just want to get through it. But I also know that, like, when you talk to a lot of people, it's like, oh, no, summer's here. Like, the pressure's on. We got to do something awesome. But, like, growing up, I mean, I was just happy to be out of school. I mean, that was the one bonus of summer is that we didn't have to go to school. That's it. I mean, we didn't have to go anywhere, and we rarely did anyway. We took other vacations, but summer wasn't like the big moment other than I get to watch cartoons in the morning and play all day. That's it.
Dude, you know what I did? I ate sandwiches, like bologna sandwiches, and I watched The Price is Right. That's like my memory of the summer. And I would do that until like noon, and then I'd call up a friend and play or like go to the pool or whatever. That was it. That was summer.
Really, Big T, like you didn't do cereal in the morning? You did bologna sandwiches, huh? Bologna sandwiches?
No, I'd have a bologna sandwich at like 11 for an early lunch. You know what I mean? And I did cereal in the morning.
Did you watch any of the really like old school, because you know, we're kind of the same age. Did you watch any of the old school like Monday, Tuesday through Friday programs like Leave It to Beaver and like—
Oh, absolutely.
You know, all the like Andy Griffith and—
Brady Bunch, man. I was a big Brady Bunch.
What was the one with the dolphin? The kid with the dolphin back from the 60s. What was that called?
See, I don't remember the kid with the dolphin. That's a little before my time.
All right. Well, it was before my time too.
An older friend told us about it. Our best friend who's older told us
Andy
about it.
Griffith, I mean,
that's my thing. I don't see age. Everyone's the same age to me.
But clearly somebody who was older told you about that. But
yeah. If I did see age, it would be an older gentleman who told us about that.
All ages matter.
Good, Ron. Yeah, that's it. Way to bring it back around, though.
Just keeping it square.
Way to keep it square.
What about so summer then for us is apparently not a factor at all.
Well, dude, it is for academics, though. I was going to say, like on the college schedule, like about—
Oh, dude, yeah, you're off, man.
Yeah, about 3 weeks before summer break rolls around, everybody starts asking, like, so— What are the Clucks doing this summer? You guys got big plans?
Okay.
You know,
yeah. And then, got any big plans? That's the question. That's like, it's the loaded question because it's like, are you a good dad?
Yeah.
Do you have any money?
Yeah, that's right.
Have you planned properly?
Oh,
And then there's also a bit of nerves in the person asking it because they want to know if you have better plans than they do.
Right. They want to know. They want to make sure their plans are better than your plans. So I feel like this year I'm killing it because of the whole Israel thing. So I'm leaving for Israel in a couple of days.
Without the kids.
Without the kids. So I feel like it's just a I almost feel bad about how amazing it sounds. You know what I mean?
You're not used to just defeating your opponent in
no,
that
I'm
conversation.
I'm not used to winning that thing. Usually I'm like, ah, we're going to, you know, I don't know, drive to my parents or whatever. Like, it's usually not that spectacular. But
yeah, we're going to spend hours in a minivan. It'll be awesome.
Yeah, we're going to spend hours in a minivan. We're going to, you know, stop and get fast food and then be at my folks for like a week. I don't know. You know,
Ted, but, you know what, man? All, you know, to me, all plans matter. You know, I don't think
all plans matter. I don't see good. Yeah, I don't see
good or bad plans.
You know, I don't see one plan is bigger or smaller than another plan, you know?
Right. They're all good.
They're all equal in my eyes, Big R.
Yeah. Well, that's good, man. You got a summer vacation without the kids, and you know, you're shipping them off to your parents, it sounds like. So it's a win-win for everybody, right? Is that what I'm hearing?
I'm excited about that. I am.
And your kids are going to love being with your parents. I mean, that truly is a win, right?
Dude, it is. It's a win for everybody, man. They're going to get.
They're going to write a book. They're going to write a book about that someday. You know,
they are. I mean, yeah, they've actually already got a deal for it.
They do. Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Crossway's given those things out pretty.
It's Crossway. They've been in talks with Justin Taylor about it. It's been good.
don't waste your summer vacation.
Don't waste your summer vacation. Exactly. Don't waste the 10 days that your folks are in Israel. Is actually.
Big T, are you a little bitter that like your son's getting a deal with Crossway and you haven't been able to get one built out with him yet? I mean, is Crossway
the one Christian publisher I haven't published with? No,
I mean, is that something you're dealing with? Is that some pain that's coming out?
It's so hurtful. It's so painful. And you know what? It could be construed as hurtful that you brought it up, but I'm actually glad you did.
Well, no. I'm here for you. I'm here for you. I'm not doing it to be snarky. I'm here for you. You know,
because remember, you guys are best friends.
Right. You know, yeah, we're best friends. You know what? We're better friends for it.
We are better friends for it. And I'm telling you this: Tristan's deal with Crossway is probably that is probably your road finally into Crossway.
It's my inroad into Crossway. And,
nepotism at its best.
You know, what? It's been a little weird around the breakfast table at our house. You know, with him. I feel like he just casually drops it into conversation. Like,
well,
oh.
I mean, it didn't. I mean, it's not weird with us, is it? Because he asked me to write the foreword. I mean, is that
weird? Yeah. So I'm like, Tris, what are you doing today? He's like, oh, I'm riding my bike to the pool and thinking about my book of Crossway. I'm like, dude, do you have to drop it into every conversation? You know, Judas Priest.
Yeah, I know, man. That's how kids can be, though, right? I
mean, that's how kids can be.
They're so thoughtless.
That's
how kids can be.
Kids and authors.
Yeah, kids and books and Crossway, man. I mean, Crossway just needs to tighten their rein on all those book deals they're giving to kids.
I mean, I feel like he's been tweeting about it all the time. You know, it's like, get over yourself. But he's my kid, so I love him. I mean, obviously.
Of course, because you can't say you don't love him.
I couldn't be happier for him.
Let's talk about, you know what, let me do something weird here, and let me do a little prep here, because I want to talk about that next app, which is this idea that whenever parents talk about something just literally deplorable that their kids do, they always got to qualify it with saying that, but I love my kid. What if you don't? Like, what if you don't love your kid? What if you
or who in the world is going to assume that a parent doesn't?
Yeah, right.
Right.
Like, if you don't like that they like scribbled on the walls or whatever. Of course,
right.
You love them.
As I hear Ted talk about his latent jealousy over this book deal,
it's there.
My assumption is not Ted hates his kid.
Right.
Because that would be outlandish.
It would.
Right. Right.
Yeah. A better assumption would be Ted hates that his kid has a book deal with Crossway.
Yeah. Ted is jealous of his kid. Those are not the same thing.
That's, I mean, I think they're I think there's a possibility of them bleeding over. I mean, what if you get? I mean,
wait, who brought bleeding into this? There's no violence going on here. Ted never threatened his child.
Also,
that we
you guys,
know
it's Maxim. It's not Tristan. It's my 11-year-old.
Oh, it's Maxim. All right.
He seems more the wordsmith anyway.
Oh, boy. I tell you what.
Can you confirm if that was a one or a three book deal, though?
It's a big R. It's a two book deal.
Okay. So that
they hedged their bets.
And I know it's a two book deal because the kid literally won't shut up about it. I mean, every conversation.
Well, you'll have to tell us what he's writing about at one point. I'm sure he's still working it out. You know,
we can cover that in a future app.
Right. Yeah.
The audience will want to know.
Yeah.
Just check Justin Taylor's Twitter periodically, and I'm sure he's tweeting about it.
I think it's called the Professor's Kid.
Yes, it's called the Professor's Kid. That's it. I love it.
And so he got a church planter from Ohio to write the foreword. It just makes sense.
It fits. Yeah, it makes sense.
Well, he needed a little star power. I mean, let's be honest.
Dude, good luck on his forward. Are you guys going to meet up for a couple of nights in Toledo and catch a Mudhens game just to kind of talk about the forward and where you're going to go with that? Or
oh, Big T, I'm so sorry. Did he not tell you that we already did that last month?
No, he didn't. He was gone for a couple days.
Wasn't that a couple of days he was gone and you were wondering where he was? I mean, did you and Double K not discuss that?
He must be on a business trip.
Oh, man, I feel
but
so
I guarantee,
bad
I
now.
Guarantee you when he tells you, he's going to be like, I was hanging out with my best friend, Ronnie Martin.
My best friend and forward author on my Crossway book, Ronald J. Martin.
One of two books, actually.
Baby, we obviously have some serious conversing to do off the air to heal some wounds.
And, there are some deep, deep wounds.
Let's assure our audience that we are going to be back. We're going to be stronger than ever on the next app.
That's right. Yeah.
We're good. Everything's okay. Hashtag
baby, are we okay?
Success.
Are we good? Are we okay?
Oh, I think we're good. I'm good.
Okay. I'm good too.
I'm good. You know, I told him, this is what I told Maxim. I said, I will write the foreword for your first book, but do not ask me to write it for book number two. That's between you and your pops. Mm, so that's good. That was the stipulation I threw out at him.
That's helpful, baby. That's really helpful.
I respect you.
Boys, I know that, man. I know that that's coming through in crystal clear Zencastr audio. And, you know, this episode has been, wow, you know, just healing in many ways. It's been
redemption.
Raw. It's been vulnerable. Yeah, yeah.
Speaking it's been Tim Keller, it's been redemption, yes.
It's been redemption. It's been redemptive. And, you know, I'm going to go out on a limb and say we should just trash the other episode that we recorded today and just roll with this one.
This we went from glum to glee, didn't we?
Glum to glad. That's the title of my Crossway book, actually.
In one app, man, from glum to glad.
From glum to glad. That's right.
If you can get glorifying God in the subtitle, you've just nailed it. Ooh, all of the alliteration.
Get a Johnny P. forward out of that, right?
If Pipe is already there.
Yeah.
It's already there. Actually, my best friend Barnabas Piper is writing the forward. Which is a thing that we decided in Toledo last week as we were watching a Mudhens game together.
Rachel the Hell Devil.
I hope that's not hurtful for you. I mean,
all I can think of right now is the scene from The Hangover where Zach Galifianakis' character is sitting in the car singing, or maybe it's not in the car, but singing, "We're the three best friends that anyone could have. We're the three best friends that anybody could have."
You know what?
Rachel the Hell Evans, Rachel right the Hell Evans, Rachel the Hell Evans.
Big R, I agree. Until next time, Rachel the Held Evans.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. Resonate has helped us with our editing and mastering pretty much from the beginning of the podcast. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Mark and Jake do a fantastic and timely job with all sorts of podcast services. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast.
Tired of parenting advice and news headlines that are more confusing than assembling IKEA furniture, we've got just the podcast for you. My dear friend Abby and I are here to help you navigate the parenting roller coaster.
Should your kids be on social media? What should you tell a friend facing an unplanned pregnancy? These are just some of the many questions we tackle on our podcast.
Subscribe to The Real Deal of Parenting wherever you find your podcast.